everyone. Today we'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
What will you post on social media over this Easter weekend? Could be that we could check some people now. Let's just jump on their social media, see what's doing. What might be on there? Hashtag risen, with the sun popping up above the ocean with a coffee in hand. Hashtag caught a big one, with a brim or whatever that fish was that was glistening in the morning sun. Hashtag delicious, with this bountiful display of various Belgium chocolate. What do I feel like when I check my socials on Easter Sunday morning and I see these posts from my friends? I don't know about you, but I hate them. I'm envious. I'm joyless. Our culture seems to be suffering from an epidemic of joylessness. Our 24-hour comparisons to our neighbours, work colleagues, or our friends on social media drains us of joy. White ants our joy, leaves us fragile veneers, deeply susceptible to unfathomable discouragement and excruciating despair. So what am I to do with my all-embracing Easter blues? I must focus my vision on the hope of Easter and there discover profound and weighty and crucial and hefty and all-encompassing joy. Good morning, my name is Stu. I'm one of the pastors here at Southern Cross. Let me pray, and then we're going to head to God's Word there where Brent read from 1 Peter as we discover joy this Easter. Let me pray. Our Father, please help us in our joyless demeanour to discover spectacular joy available to us in the hope of the resurrection and the message of that first Easter, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the remarkable message of Easter is that it provides us living hope. Did you hear that in the reading today? Let me reread chapter 1 and verse 3 again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Well, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This guy Peter was a mate of Jesus who wrote this letter, and he's pretty stoked, isn't he? He reckons the resurrection of Jesus has given him a new start, a new birth, a living hope. In fact, if you'll read all five chapters of Peter's reflections here, you discover he understands not only his new birth, but that he has this new allegiance, he has a new citizenship. He would actually say now in this world, as Peter walked around the Mediterranean in about AD 62, he understood himself as an exile. Peter thought of himself as an expat, a refugee. He was an outcast from this world. Peter understood his nationality, his homeland, was heaven. And this identity changed his demeanor and his conduct. We could be mistaken that Peter's positivity was due to his circumstances. Did you see at verse 3, he was so comfortable to use an exclamation mark? But when he's speaking to Christians here in this letter, he writes to Christians across the Mediterranean who have suffered, are currently suffering, and will suffer. There would have been such great temptation for the followers of Jesus to whom he writes to say, stuff it. It's just too hard. It's just not worth it. What does Peter say to us this Easter morning? No way. Jesus has defeated our biggest enemy. He secured our future. Check out verse 4. We have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This is what is motivating Peter. Regardless of what is happening around him, he knows he has hope, verse 3, and can continue to move forward irrespective of the challenges that he will face. He maintains his vision on his hope and his future in verse 4. It's a bit like some of our DIY projects over this Easter weekend. You endure the sweat, you endure the curses, the frustrations. Why do you do that? Well, because you have a finished project in your head, or it's potentially the cold drink, it's the G&T, it's the beer you get at the end, it's that vision that drives you forward. And it's the same for Peter. He knows what is ahead, so he keeps moving forward in hope. And yet, Easter means more for Peter than just his future location and his inheritance. For Peter, it's not all pie in the sky when you die. His future reality, his future hope, his future inheritance affects his posture. It affects his emotions, it affects his mood, even in the present. So let's quickly explore that before we close. Well, even though Peter hasn't experienced the benefits of the resurrection in his current life, he experiences some of its emotional strength in the present. So if you would feel comfortable, look with me at verse 8 and verse 9 of chapter 1. Though you've not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Peter's future, secured by the resurrection, gives him living hope. It grows his love for God and it fuels him with inexpressible joy. Have you seen anyone with that kind of experience? Can't get the words out? This word inexpressible is found nowhere else in the Bible, but it captures the truest sense of the word, unutterable, speechless, a joy so profound as to be beyond the power of words to express. Well, last year my family drove around Australia, but one of the most unexpected places we discovered was the Stirling Ranges. They're about 4.5 hours southeast of Perth. It's a location that wasn't even on our itinerary. It was suggested to us by a family over lunch one day in Perth. The Stirling Ranges is made up of multiple peaks, and we chose to hike up Mount Trio. And as we climbed up, it had these spectacular views looking northeast, if I checked Google Maps right through the week. I think it's looking east, you look over all these flat plains, canola fields. But when we made it to the top and we looked southwest, there are massive peaks that I had no idea Western Australia could even produce. It filled our vision and it made this picture before our eyes. We were just simply speechless. Unutterable, inexpressible. And that's what Peter says of his future. He says it regarding his identity, regarding his home. And in verse 8, it also seems though, through the resurrection, through this living hope, through this message of Easter, Peter knows the joy of heaven before heaven, experienced now in friendship with the unseen Christ. That's a full on, don't you think? That he can know the joy of heaven before heaven. It's a remarkable hope. It's extraordinary. It's elite. And it's a glorious joy. There's this glorious demeanor, a glorious experience, this brightness that fills Peter. It's a brightness that defines the reality of God if you read the whole Bible. If you were with us in term two, we looked at a letter called 2 Corinthians, and the writer had this whole thing where he was describing when the reality of God is unveiled, what is there? Brightness, infused with heavenly glory. It's the joy that results from being actually in the presence of God. Do you believe that joy is possible this Easter? Why are we joyless? We live in the most affluent period of human history. As wealth increases, joy seems to decrease. How can we be joyful? In 2019, Hugh Van Kylenberg wrote this book, The Resilience Project. He had no idea what was coming in 2020. But he recalls a period of his life in his early 20s where he had a rare privilege to work in a small impoverished school near Nepal. He recalls this season of teaching as perhaps some of the most joyous season of his life, fueled largely by a boy named Stanzen. Hugh met this young boy as he first walked into the school grounds, and he was greeted by this young boy with a massive smile, beaming. The boy stands and grabbed Hugh by the arm and dragged him around the school grounds. And in his broken English, the boy repeated, "Look at this, and this, and this, and this." At first, Hugh didn't know what to do. Was the boy wanting him to do an OHS on the school grounds? He was feeling a bit nervous, thinking he was going to have to condemn the place. But particularly the playground where the boy was most vocal. "This, this, this." Hugh thought it was from Chernobyl. He looked at it. It looked run down, derelict, downright dangerous. But he worked out the manner of the boy was excitement, enthusiasm, joy. This young life before Hugh didn't know any better. He just woke up each morning, went to his school. He didn't check his Facebook account. He wasn't scrolling through Instagram. He wasn't on Snapchat. He woke up in the morning and looked around himself. When I wake up on Easter morning and I see my friends' socials, hashtag risen, hashtag God aboard a big one, hashtag delicious, I feel my joy draining out of me. Maybe I need to get my focus right. Remember, what do I have now because of Easter? What would it look like for me to roll out of bed with a better posture on Easter morning? This, verse 3, have a look at it with me. "In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead!" Exclamation mark. This, verse 4, into inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This, verse 8, though you don't see him, you love him. And this, verse 8, even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Looking at others and envying their Easter plans, envying their life, is a vision that will leave us dejected, downcast, and depressed. Let us look with Peter beyond ourselves, beyond others, beyond our circumstances, as we look toward the joy of resurrection life in Christ. And if you pray to him and plead to him, you will know inexpressible joy. Let me finish with this moving reflection from a British pastor regarding the last years of his mother's life. "For the last 15 years or so, my mother had acute arthritis. Her hands have curled over and her body is riddled with pain. Each week she would go to hospital for injections. In many ways, her condition dominates her, but it doesn't define her. People ask me, how is she going? I forget they're talking about the arthritis. It has never been a feature of her conversation. Social situations do leave her exhausted, yet she doesn't complain. Her achievements will be never listed in history books, but wherever she goes, she takes the sweet saviour of Jesus. She doesn't fear death. I've lost count of the number of hymns she's told me she wants at her funeral. All rousing hymns of joy that are found in Christ. If we sing them all, it will go all night. She loves her Saviour Jesus. She expected little from this life, and she received every blessing as a bonus. Her life has been shaped by the cross of Good Friday, and her future has been shaped by the resurrection and Easter Sunday morning. She is my hero of the cross and resurrection." Let's pray now. that we might know the inexpressible joy of resurrection in our lives this Easter. Father, we do want to confess our joylessness. We can be so downcast and negative and cold, yet panicky in our endless pursuit to find joy in all the wrong places. Please help us to look to resurrection hope, correct our focus, steady our vision on our impenetrable future. How thankful we are for the living hope of Easter. May we know inexpressible joy, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.